Good morning, Beverly Malone.
Good morning, Kathy.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. We've got a new addition to the Chai FM family.
I believe so.
Which we're going to talk about in a little while.
It's so exciting.
It's extremely exciting. But we've got Michelle on the line. Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, how are you, Kathy?
Excellent, thank you.
How are you, Bev?
I'm good. Hey, Michelle.
So you've got some numbers for Bev.
No, I actually wasn't calling for numbers. I can give you numbers. I'd like to give you numbers. I was calling as a comment to Tess on your last show.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't respect this one. She doesn't respect that one. I understand that. There is a place for that, but there's also a place when you live in a country to respect certain people in power because, you know, otherwise chaos will run free if you don't respect anything, you know?
I hear
there's a balance.
I hear it.
I'm not thrilled that Zuma's in power. I think that they could have chosen someone better. I'm not sure exactly who right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not, you know, there is a certain amount of respect that a president of a country deserves or needs to have in order for the country to function.
You know, I think you make a very interesting point because there's, you know, I always try and bring things back to the Torah because that is my something that I've actually adopted
mm-hmm.
as my code of ethics and my morals, and that is something that I use as a guiding principle and a guiding document. So it's true what you say about leadership. You know, I think there's even a brocha that when we see a fair ruler or a great king, there's a special brocha that we're supposed to say.
Right, and we're also supposed to respect the law of the land that we live in, assuming that it's not, you know, Stalin or Nazi Germany.
Right.
You know?
Right. So I think that you make a great point about leadership. There's also another idea is that every generation gets the leadership they deserve,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a bigger picture for us, and which is why I'm constantly thinking about the morality and where are we going as a society.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Michelle.
Can I give Bev numbers?
Do you want to give Bev numbers?
Yeah,
go
please.
For it.
Bev, which kid should I give you?
Just whichever one you like. Pick one of the ones we haven't done yet.
Oh, okay. How about I'll give you the 30th of November,
mm-hmm.
1969.
Jeez, you've had a big kid,
hey? I do, hey?
As a big kid, you sound very young for someone who gave birth to someone born in 1969.
Right.
All right. Anything specific?
No.
All right. Great. You want to listen on radio?
Okay.
Lovely.
Thanks, Michelle.
Actually, no. I'm on the phone. Can you just tell me? Thanks.
Go for it.
Sorry.
Okay. With pleasure. All right. So the 30th of November, 1969. So here we have somebody who does not like to be boundaried by other people's prescriptions of discipline. This is somebody who likes to define their own boundaries, their own discipline, and can create an incredible following that way. It's not like this person can't lead or take the role of leadership at all. This is somebody who really can do it and has deep ideals about how things should be and is not incredibly flexible about them, but likes to aim in a certain direction and do things in a very structured way, but it's not necessarily a structure other people would look at and say, oh, yes, yeah, I can see why I did it that way. This is kind of somebody who could do many different things very well and so might spread himself or herself in different places and still have success and still be able to achieve a measure of success, but it won't necessarily be what everyone else would expect. It won't necessarily be in a way that other people would do it, because this is certainly somebody who can achieve in his or her. Is it a his or a her?
Michelle?
Yeah, it's a guy.
It can certainly achieve in his own way.
Yeah.
There's no question. And very opinionated, but a gentle opinionating maker. Except if pushed, then the opinion becomes inflexible. So this is a very childlike, enthusiastic spirit with an open mind and a curious mind and willing to try new things where many people may not necessarily be willing to do. This is someone who could chop and change careers, chop and change businesses, who could do different things at the same time, because this is a multifaceted person, without question. Mm-hmm. A multifaceted, very capable person, socially nurturing, but having very high ideals about the way he wants things to be around him and likes pretty things. He likes things to look good, and he'll put effort into that. Taking direction from other people, not the easiest. Taking direction from people he doesn't respect, impossible. So this is certainly somebody who wants to be respected, wants to take advice from people that he would respect, and they would have to earn it. And it goes back to, funny enough, what you were saying just now. This is not someone who would just blanketly respect just anyone. If you're going to be respect worthy in his eyes, you're going to have done something that is respect worthy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thanks,
so much.
Michelle.
Have a good Shabbat.
And you too.
Answers.
You too. God bless.
Cheers, Michelle. We've got Shulamit on the line. Good morning, Shulamit.
Good morning, Bev.
Hi, Shulamit.
Hi. My husband and I are going through extremely trying times at the moment, and I'd like to give you both our birth dates, and I'd like you to be brutally honest with me about it, you know, about everything.
That's great permission, Shulamit, because up till now I've lied to everyone. So, thank you for that.
I've been told to say, be brutally honest.
Oh, you've been told. All right, go ahead. Give me
All
your
right.
birth date.
My birth date is 31/01/44.
31st of January. Yeah. 1944.
And my husband is 27/09/36.
27th of September, 1936.
That's right.
All right.
Wow. Bev is actually okay, I've got the numbers.
Just working it out. If you would like Bev to do your numbers, give us a call. 0861 24 24 36. And I'll give that number again. 0861 24 24 36. You can call Bev and she'll be able to do your numbers. She looks at your birth dates. So you need the day, the month, the year. And then she looks at your areas of potential. She looks at your areas where you're going to find it very challenging. And, she's not an oracle. She's not going to tell you, well, you're going to come into some money next week, because that's not what Bev does.
And if I ever get that right, I want 10%. It's only reasonable. It's the oracle factor.
Yes, I want to know why oracles don't win the lotto or the horse races. When else did you see the headline? Psychic wins Durban July. All right, let's get back to Shulamit. Shulamit, you're there.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, Shulamit, do you have anything specific, or can I just go and give you what I get and you take it from there and process
it? That's right.
All right. Lovely. You want to listen on radio?
Do you want me to listen on radio?
It's up to
Unless
you.
Unless you want to have conversation.
Maybe I should. It'll be easier.
All right, go do that.
All right.
God
Thanks
bless, my dear. Have a good Yontov and
have
everything.
Have a good Shabbos and a good Shavuot.
Thank you very much. You too.
Thank you for your help. Bye.
Hope it has value. All right, so here we go, and I've been given full permission to be brutally honest. Now, I must warn you, somebody did this with me on Nikki's show last week, and we did that, and then we had tears and everything, but she was very grateful. So, Shulamit, if that's what comes out, then I'm going to preface this by saying this, that if you are willing to phone and give me your birth dates and tell me to be brutally honest, it must mean you're desperate to change, and it must mean you're open to solutions, and it must mean that you're open to an opinion that can give you a new direction. And so I'm going to encourage you to take everything I say as observation and recommendation and encouragement, not criticism. Certainly not criticism. I don't know you, so there'd be no reason for there to be any. And even when we do know each other, we shouldn't criticize, as I've said only, I don't know, 1,000 times. That might be an exaggeration.
Oh, have you said that? Oh.
Yeah, only always. I have a saying that I'm going to put as a quote in my book I'm going to be finishing, hopefully, you know, eventually, the second book. Skepticism has no greater enemy than the power of a mind opened by desperation. Isn't that great?
That is great. And that is a big talking point.
Yes.
So I just need to tell you that we've got two calls holding. So,
wow. So we're going to have to, like, brutally honest blitz and move on. Right. Okay. So in the most concise possible way, Shulamit, because we are on a time budget here, and you can consult with me privately if you want more brutal honesty. I'll tell you what I see with you and your husband. You and your husband have a very deep connected relationship, very deep. And there's a lot of beautiful sensitivities about it. There's a power struggle in the relationship, which hopefully you've got the hang of by now. And it's going to have a lot of power for the two of you to swap the balance. But where I see things getting complex is in relationships with others. I think the two of you are probably doing very well as a team and very connected and in a beautiful way. Very connected and liberated as a team. And you could probably feel like you could take on the world. And that's a great position to be in with your partner, especially a life partner, because you don't want to feel that you at odds with your partner, because then where do you turn when there's crisis? when I look at the two of you individually, and I'm going to say this like this, I don't know what your relationships are like with your family, with everyone else, but there's a lot of Dafkiness in each of you. And there's a huge desire to be in a certain way. And with that will always come a challenge to get along with others if you don't remain flexible. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. Your husband likes to have a lot of affirmation and recognition. He likes to be respected, and he doesn't do well without those kind of inputs. And he can be an amazing leader and very authoritative and have great ideas and etc. if they're taken well, if he's not rejected, if he's not challenged, he can be in the most unbelievable space of leadership and a very generous spirited leadership. When he's hurt, it is hard for him to maintain a sensitivity to other people. And I think that happens for a lot of people. It takes a lot of work to maintain sensitivity and compassion when someone's hurt you and let you down. But he can also become erratic, and he become emotionally either not necessarily explosive, but verbose and upset. And that can create conflict. When I look at you, what I see, and I'm looking at the crisis, because if you ask me to be brutally honest, then I can see you don't want me to just pander to how wonderful you are. You're both wonderful in many ways. But the challenges that are going to come up for you without question is where you have huge expectations of how things should be and tend towards a victim mentality when it's not going that way. Now, I don't know how relevant that is for you now and how much of that you've worked on, but there's no question for me that there's a tendency to emotional drama and social emotional drama. And if that does come out for you, then what you're going to see is people withdrawing and people and conflict coming up and that kind of thing, because it's very hard to maintain a graceful presence in relationships when there is emotional drama to contend with and somebody who becomes Dafka and doesn't want to be compromising or moving forward. So I don't know how relevant that is for you. I don't know how much value that has for you. I don't know how accurate that is for you right now and in what you're going on, but that's what I'm picking up that you need to hear. That is brutally honest. I'm not holding back. And your opinions of the people that you're close to is also a danger zone for me. I look at that and I know what your, there's a concept in Judaism called the tikkun. The tikkun is the corrective work that we have to do and why we're on planet Earth again. Because in essence, as wonderful as it can be here, and then you adopt a giraffe and you think, oh, it's all worth living for. But there's a whole lot of other things going on planet Earth. And most people go through struggle on a daily basis at some level or not. And there's moments of bliss in that day. But the bottom line for me is that we're here to grow and rework ourselves so that we go back to where we came from as a higher, more evolved being. And coming through this whole period up to Shavuot, that's exactly what we've been doing. And I'm looking here and I'm seeing that your tikkun, your work, some of the deepest level of your work is about holding back with your opinions, holding back with your judgments and criticisms of the people closest to you. Now, I don't know how much work you've done on that. Maybe you've done a fortune, but I don't think you realize that you have a very insightful look at people, and it's disarming. People don't necessarily need to know where they're lacking. They don't necessarily need to hear criticism. Most people just respond well to love, affirmation, and respect. I've been telling my son this since the day he opened his eyes. Don't scream at me. Don't look at me badly. Careful with your tone. I respond best to love, affirmation, and respect. And he's right here.
As opposed to everybody else. Nodding. As opposed to everybody else who just responds to bullying.
Who responds to love, affirmation, respect, but doesn't own it and admit it and insist on it from their partner. So that's what I'm going to recommend you do, is just take that, hold it, sit with it, see if it has value for you, pick it about. And if you want to consult you, you're invited to, but during the show, that's the best I can offer, and that was honest, and I truly hope that it has some meaning.
Thanks so much, Bev, and Shalamet. I hope that was useful to you. Coming up, we're going to speak to Jill, and we're going to speak to Serena, who are going to give us our numbers. Hang in there, guys. We've got to do this first.
You're listening to 101.9 Chai FM.
And I'm Kathy Kayla, standing in for Nikki Seberini. Got Beverly Malone in studio with me, and if you are new to the show, firstly, welcome to you, and secondly, I'll tell you very, very quickly what Bev does. She looks at your birth dates. She needs the day, the month, and the year. You SMS at 313-4519, or you can give us a call on 0861 24 24 36, and Bev looks at areas in your life that are either challenges that you are actually born with to overcome, or she looks at and she looks at potentials, you know, the potential that you have, that you can use those tools, things that come very easily to you, to overcome the challenges. So if you'd like to hear what Bev has to say, give us a call, 0861 24 24 36. And we have had Jill holding on for so long. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Thank you for holding.
Thank you.
Do you want to speak to Bev?
Yes.
Give her your dates.
Thanks.
Hi, Jill.
Hello, Bev.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, Bev. Okay, Bev, my husband's birth date is the 4th of August, 1969. He's just been having a little bit of a difficult patch at the moment, emotionally, career-wise, you know, business and everything. And I just want to know, should he change careers? What's his potential? Should he, just like advice, or where is he at?
Or even maybe a career that he would be good at, that he would find fulfillment, maybe something like that. Bev, could you look at that?
Yeah, absolutely. We can look at that. That's more of a really in-depth assessment. But on standing on one foot, Jill, I can tell you that your husband's not in the easiest year. He's in a year of closure. So that's not an easy year for someone to be in, because either they're going to really solidify something powerful, or they're going to wrap up the last 10 years and move on to something new. So my sense about it is that he's wrapping up like a part of him and the place he's come from, and he's needing to move on to something new. And that's always scary, and it fills us with insecurity a lot of the time, unless you know exactly where you're headed, and then it might fill you with incredible excitement and enthusiasm. So I can't tell you exactly which career he should go into. I'd have to sit with him and profile him and get to understand him a bit to make sure what level of potential he's actually at in his actual potential, rather than just assume that he's X, Y, and Z. Because I know that he's a man with strong opinions. I know that he's a man who loves to, but he's very gentle with them. I don't think he's not a forceful person. And so he needs a lot of affirmation, and he needs a lot of respect, and he needs a lot of recognition. And that's a very vulnerable way to go through the world, because the truth is, until we believe in ourselves wholeheartedly, and until we stop believing that other people have the right to have an opinion about us, provided you're doing your best to do nothing wrong, doing your best to bring no harm to others, you should be able to live independent of the scrutiny of others and thereby reach your potential. When you live in a world where you want to be affirmed and recognized, and you're scared of rejection, and you're scared of failure, and you're scared of not making it first time, etc., it becomes paralyzing and immobilizing when we look at trying something new or moving into something else.
Yeah.
And your husband has a very special way about him, doesn't he? He's got a very non-societal way about him. He doesn't really want to fit into society. He doesn't want to do the norms that everyone else does.
No.
Have you noticed that?
No.
No, you haven't noticed that? Or yes, you have noticed that?
Yeah, very much.
Oh, okay. So we're on the same page.
He's not like the crowd.
No, he's not like
the
crowd.
He doesn't follow the crowd.
And therefore, even more so, he has to learn to live independently of the scrutiny of others so he can reach his potential. He will not reach it in the shadow of other people's recognition or affirmation. He has to do the work it takes on him to feel secure enough to believe in what he's passionate about more than he believes that other people's opinion, scrutiny, judgment, criticism, or lack of affirmation have the right to condemn him to a life that is not fulfilling for him. And I think if we had to sit down together and we looked at his choices that he's made up till now, we'll find that he made choices that compromised him. And so he's done stuff that he's good at and he's done okay, and he's now feeling frustrated because we're all in a two century. And I heard Kathy talking earlier about the leadership of today that is falling into trouble. The despots are falling into trouble. The arrogant leaders are falling into trouble. Why? Because this is a two century. This century is about flow. It's about nurturing self and others. It's about nurturing each other. It's about caring for each other and making a difference in our own lives so that we can be effective in the lives of others. And if people don't step up to the plate and start doing that, they will fall. It's not unusual for me to see what's going on in the world where there's a whole lot of kingdoms falling. They're happening, and that change is happening because people are finally saying, I will not do what I've done that has not served me anymore. It's enough. There has to be a point where I say, to this line and no further. When it comes to changing careers, now I will stipulate this. I've heard many life coaches tell people, if you're passionate about that, go for it. The money will follow. I'm going to tell this outright. That is the biggest load of nonsense I've ever heard and the most irresponsible advice anyone can give. When your husband sources what he's passionate about and what he believes he can do to change his career, and he builds that up on the side, and it will be taxing and challenging and scary for a bit to build up the skills or build up the knowledge or build up the resource on the side, and he can do that without compromising his current income and make the shift without compromising his income, then I recommend he does that. And that's my best advice on one foot.
Thank you, Bev. Thank you.
Pleasure, my dear.
Thanks so much,
Jill.
And let's speak to Serena. Morning, Serena.
Hi.
Thank you for holding. I'm sorry that you had to hold for such a long time.
It's fine. I'm actually on the cell phone, and I've got very bad laryngitis.
Oh, my word.
Okay. So my birth date is the 1st of the 4th, 1954. I'm not married, but I am in a relationship. And, yeah, I've just had my fair share of difficulties. And, yeah, I'd just like some advice on, or some input on going forward.
Okay, so Serena, we're gonna let you listen on the radio, especially considering that you're on the mobile.
Okay, cool.
All right.
I can turn off.
Yes,
you can turn off your phone.
Okay,
but listen to your radio.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Serena. Take care. Have a good Shabbos. Cheers. Bye.
All right. So we are going to look immediately at what could be holding her back from having an easy flowing life.
Yes.
Because that's the real question here. I haven't had an easy time. I'd like to know where it's headed forward. Okay, I have no idea where it's headed forward. I can tell you that living with self-esteem means I prepare myself for whatever can happen, whatever eventuality, knowing I'm enough to overcome the obstacle or find a way to overcome the obstacle, because no obstacle comes my way that a higher power does not believe I can overcome, stretching and expanding myself and using resources and other people to do so. So that is our role, to live in the world. Is not to know what's coming and not to go to the psychics and the crystal balls and say, well, what's coming so I can be prepared. No, you will actually ruin it for yourself. So that's not where we're headed. What I'm going to say to you, Serena, is let's look at what could have been holding you back from flowing. And I can tell you, it comes up immediately. This is a person with a very strong social conscious mind, which means everywhere she looks, she has an opinion. Everywhere she looks, she is criticizing, judging, and not necessarily cruelly and not necessarily judgmentally in a derogatory way. But there's an opinion about everything. There's an opinion about everything.
But and that could be a good thing. I mean,
if you're a forensic auditor, etc.
To be socially aware is a good thing. No?
Socially aware is great, but it's not always phenomenal to share it. And that is where I would say the danger comes in, Serena, is that I have tons of opinions. I am a strongly opinionated person. And
we
anyone,
didn't know that. Thanks
you
for letting us know.
I just wanted to let you know, because I don't want you to get confused when I say things. I am a strongly opinionated person who can't always say opinionated properly. And when I sit at a meal and I sit with people and we have conversations, I don't have wishy-washy opinions. I'm not one of those people who just makes no sense. If my mouth opens, it's because I've either wanting to share an opinion I have thought about, or I want to engage and debate about it so I can sharpen my mind because someone else knows far more than me at the table. Or I want to challenge what's being said because I don't agree with it, but I'm open to change if you make more sense. But there's a willingness to debate, and I'm not good at small talk and nonsense. So neither is Serena. Now, that does not necessarily make for an easy, flowing person in the world. When you look at the world and you say, this is my opinion, but it's not living up to that. This is how it should be, but it's not living up to it. This is what it should be, but it's not. And if you voice that at every opportunity, it can create a lot of drama in a person's life. And it can make things a lot more challenging. And therefore, I would say, Serena, have you looked at how you are interacting with the world instead of looking at how the world is interacting with you? Because there is a tendency for Serena to tend towards feeling victimized by people, opportunities, lack thereof, the world, challenges, obstacles. There is a tendency to that. And what I'm going to say to you is you're never being victimized. There's very few people who are truly being victimized on a social daily basis. But what does happen is that challenges come our way. And if you look at them as a mirror and say, what could I be needing to refine for this to flow better? You might have a much easier way of going through your day when you get very good at that, instead of meeting every challenge head on as if you're being pressed, attacked, pushed back, challenged yet again. What could I need to refine that I'm getting upset here? What could I need to work on that I feel thwarted? What is it?
Maybe in an area of Serena's life, there is possibly somebody who is overbearing or bullying that's... I'm just saying.
Correct. You know, and if so that happened that when she was much younger, then a lot of what happens is the protective mechanism of that incredible mind she has, and she has a fantastic, sharp, quick, clever mind and a very forensic, analytical mind. The protective mechanism of that intellectual mind, that cognitive mind, will create its own stories. And I'm saying to you, careful not to believe them unless you know that they're absolutely true. Because we can create a story about not being served in a bank. And I don't know where that came from, but there it is, right? We can create a story about it, that we're invisible and that no one cares and et cetera, but it might just be we're standing in the wrong place. And we're standing in the place where people wait for others. And so whoever in the bank is looking at us thinks, oh, she's just waiting. That's cool. She's in that place. But you don't know that. But you'll create a whole story about being ignored, not valuable, not important enough, not having a visibility, like almost feeling invisible, like I said, right? Careful the stories you believe to be true and the misperceptions you hold that you believe are true, because a lot of the time that can be immensely disturbing. And it's not the easiest way to flow through life, believing things that aren't true. Try to believe the things that are true.
Okay.
For example, a coach says to you, yes, Kathy, you're never going to be good at netball. Honestly, we need good kids on the team. Just get off the
field. Oh, God, I would have said that long before to the coach.
Okay, maybe. Maybe because you're yes, Kathy Kayla. But like the average kid out there, right?
Yes.
May not have done that and might have actually believed they could never be good at netball. And yes, we've seen time and time again children with no aptitude for things, with no real potential, who've said, I will practice until, I will until.
Like, sometimes because somebody believed in them.
Sometimes it's just because they believed in them. Mm. But I seldom find people who will live up to their highest potential because they were criticized and broken down. It is a rarity unless they believe in them. If they don't believe in them and people criticize and bring them down, the likelihood of that person coming up anywhere in life is zero. You don't hear the story of, well, everyone ran me down, everyone bullied me, and everyone told me I'd never make it, and I also believed I'd never make it, and then look, I made it. No. The tortoise does not fall to the top of the pole. You know what I'm saying? It takes something to get a tortoise to the top of the pole. So if you're a person with a very minimal aptitude in a certain thing and you succeed, it's because either someone believed in you and poured that belief into you so you could tap into that potential, or people criticized you and said you wouldn't make it and you believed in you. It's about the things we believe, Kathy. That's what I'm saying. Careful about the things you choose to keep in your head.
To a huge degree.
Careful what you let into your bubble. The world that is your bubble is what keeps you sacred, protected, and enabled. And if you let crud into that bubble, then you are going to have a hard time living and working with it and thriving with it. You can't thrive with crud in the bubble. It's got to get out the bubble.
Beverly Malone, thank you so much.
This has been
a very busy show today.
It has.
We've been taking lots of calls. We didn't even get to the SMSs. The SMSs have just been like refreshing and refreshing and refreshing.
Well, that's fantastic. So, I'll get them from Lee and I'll message them. I'll do a talk, etc. We'll get back to that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Beverly Malone.